Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Before the show is over today, we will get to the holiday show now, and it's a good one this today. It's about punctuality and when you should arrive to a holiday party. Are you an on-time kind of person, right on time? Are you a little bit late? Or, God forbid, are you one of these people that shows up early? I think we all can agree that if you...
I guess we know how you feel.
I think we can all agree if you show up for early, if you show up for anything early, get out of here.
It's a problem.
It is a problem. So before the show's over, we'll get into our holiday showdown about party punctuality.
Adam, Jordana, good morning.
Good morning.
How do we feel about swearing in the media?
I love it. I wish we could do it every single day. Mm-hmm. This show would be so much more colorful.
Oh, my gosh. I'd add a few words, too.
Now, we both have accidentally... Mm-hmm. From time
it's
to
happened.
Time.
But that means we're so comfortable.
And
we're just chatting with the listeners. Like, we're very comfortable and we're just having conversations. That's a good thing, I think. I hope.
And I don't buy into this old school feeling, well, if you use foul language or swear words, it shows a lack of intelligence, you know? No. Nice.
That's been debunked, by the way.
Right. Colorful words absolutely punctuate what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Also that people overdo it too.
They do. That's what satellite radio is for, I think.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, Howard Stern throws a few out there for you.
Satellite radio, never heard of it.
Yeah. What is that? Sirius? What? Timberwolves star Anthony Edwards is in some deep trouble for swearing. I'm not sure if you guys have talked about this yet, but during a media interview after a 107-90 win over the Warriors, Edwards had used profanity and is now handed by the NBA a $25,000 fine for swearing in the interview. Adam, given the famous phrase, fix it in post, and the delay given to radio and TV, like we all know, is $25,000 too harsh for something such as swearing in a post-game interview?
Well, let's be honest. These guys make a ton of dough and can, you know.
Doesn't matter, though.
No, I know. 25 grand falls out of his pocket. But really, I mean, this is what we're fining him $25,000 for. First of all, it's like the cat is out of the bag when it comes to foul language and athletes. I mean, it's like if you watch a live broadcast now, some people just, you know, say swear words and it's like you might get cringe. But you know what? That's part of the deal sometimes. Yes, he was very careful then in the next game when they lost to the Warriors to not say anything. He didn't want to talk because he was afraid he was going to swear again. But, like, again, back to our original point of people using colorful language, like Anthony Edwards, I kind of expect it from him. It's kind of, I'll be honest with you, adds to the charm of who Anthony Edwards is.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's 23, by the way. Like, come on. He's a kid. Jor, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to find athletes. That's how they talk. That's who they are. That's ridiculous. Yeah. Ridiculous.
All right. It appears the holiday spirit from Minneapolis past is being kept alive in St. Paul. A home in St. Paul is using 9 animatronic characters from the old Christmas shows in the 8th floor auditorium at the Dayton's department store in downtown Minneapolis as part of its holiday display. This year, its owner closed his front porch to create 6 different vignettes with 30 figures, each depicting a day in the life of an elf from Dayton's last Christmas show. The display will be lit from 5 to 9 through Christmas Day at 1887 Saunders Avenue. Jor, did you get to ever experience the Minneapolis tradition that is and was the 8th floor auditorium over at Dayton's?
I did. I got here in the year 2000, and it was a few years after that they stopped doing it. But yes, even when I had small kids, I brought my kids, and it was so fun to walk. I'm sorry about my voice. It was so fun to walk through. Dayton's did an amazing job, and people miss this so much. And it was so festive and beautiful. I absolutely think they should bring it back. 100%.
I agree.
And they should raise money for charity or whatever it is. It doesn't have to be free. you know, $5 entry or whatever, raise money for charity. I think it'd be great.
Especially when you're talking about downtown areas and, well, geez, yes. How do we get people back downtown? Jeez. This is a no-brainer to me. Absolutely.
My grandparents used to, this used to be actually a center point of my holiday tradition each year. My grandparents yes. and my mom would go to this. And then what I consider high maintenance today, we went to a good old restaurant called the Oak Grill right oh, afterwards yeah. and used to feast on popovers and everything and just enjoy ourselves a nice little Christmas meal. And, yeah, it was a tradition every single Christmas season. I do miss the Oak Grill as well because that was, like you said, Jor, very, very fancy.
Wow, I just Googled Oak Grill, and the first thing that pops up is the Oak Grill popover recipe. Where do you stand on a good popover? Do you like popover? Jor, have you ever had a good popover?
Never had one until I moved to the Midwest.
Yeah.
And since I've been here, yes, I've had a good popover. Delish. Yum.
They
love.
So good.
Warm popover.
Speaking
with
of
like
yum. Yum makes them.
A warm popover with a little butter, the sweetened butter in there. Shout out to Jensen's Supper Club. Jensen's has great popovers. Text in with your great popovers. 651-461-9226.
Oh, my God. Are we 1,000 years old? I mean, who are we?
No, popovers doesn't.
Popover recipe.
No, not recipe. Oh, where do you get a good popover?
Oh, okay. Okay, that's fair.
I miss Oak Grill. Popovers were the best there. It was definitely a good appetizer before the main entree.
Apple butter and a popover. Oh,
oh my gosh.
And you're making me hungry.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm aroused. It's something else is popping over.
Popover.
Yeah. Everybody's favorite fast food restaurant is testing out a new bar/cafe, Taco Bell. They're adding a new twist to what they offer up, and it doesn't include tacos, at least at the location being featured here in San Diego. It is going to be named the Live Mas Cafe. It will include milkshakes, coffee, fruity ice drinks, and a take on dirty soda. The dirty soda trend, including
enough dirty soda talk. I've heard two topics and I'm already sick of it.
The prototype.
Soda that stays clean. Okay.
We know. The prototype resembles the year-old McDonald's Cosmics design, where they promote drinks which target a younger audience. Taco Bell released a statement saying they look to disrupt the beverage industry. Adam, will you be trying out the new Live Mas Cafe when you vacation next in beautiful San Diego?
No. If you go to San Diego and go to Taco Bell in Southern California, where, like,
stop
you know,
it.
You could fall, any block probably has 17 fantastic Mexican restaurants, and I'm again, Taco Bell is my favorite traditional yeah. fast food restaurant, but I'm not going to Taco Bell.
You don't want dirty soda?
No, get out of here with your dirty soda.
Jor, I know you're a big Taco Bell person.
Yeah, Taco, right? I don't even know what to order there.
Yeah,
no,
true.
I'm not going in San Diego. I'm barely going here, but the dirty soda thing, my kid went to she and her friends wanted to try the dirty soda, and the place was closed. Wherever they tried, it was closed, and she was kind of disappointed. You know, she's underage, obviously, she's not drinking, but the dirty soda was kind of a treat for these young kids. And so if anybody has a good dirty soda place, she still wants to try it out. You can send those along with your popover suggestions.
Yeah, I prefer the drinks that they offer up on the strip at the Taco Bell there. That's pretty good in Vegas. Live Nation, the largest concert promoter in the world, is adding a one-of-a-kind venue to Shakopee. Yes, the Twin Cities-based Swervo Development is adding an amphitheater to the mix for your summer right here, right near Canterbury Park. This is part of a project that will include restaurants and hotels building up in the surrounding area out there. The amphitheater will seat around 11,000 and an additional 8,000 in grassed areas, hosting approximately 30 events each summer beginning this coming summer. Jor, should Adam save his money now for when fish comes to the Shakopee?
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He should.
Yes.
He would love it. And you go, Shakopee. You go.
Yeah. We did.
Fantastic.
I mean, the Waite Park, I think, has a nice big amphitheater up there.
Yeah.
I always say amphitheater. Isn't it amphitheater? Like a amphitheater?
Yeah, it's like fish.
Amphitheater?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I think I've been saying amphitheater wrong my whole life.
Sound.
Amphitheater.
We might have to call Pam Green to get the proper pronunciation of amphitheater. Oh, no. Googling right now. I need a rabbit hole to go down right now.
fish come to.
Sorry, did I ruin
shock
this?
No, you're good. No, you're not good. At all. But the, I wish we had like a big, you know, like a good amphitheater has like a great background view, you know? Like I think of Red Rocks and you think of the gorge. It'd be great if we had like some stunning outdoor view with a local amphitheater.
I Googled it. Amphitheater.
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 Absolutely rock my world on this. I had no idea.
Little Miss Grammar, Little Miss Proper English got one wrong.
I have been saying it all along my whole life.
Amphitheater.
Because I've been saying it with a hard P. Amphitheater.
Amphitheater.
Thank you for this education. I need to reevaluate my entire existence.
Right. Popover, Anton's in Wade Park. Great popover with whipped honey butter at the Coyote Moon Grill, St. Cloud, Sawmill Inn in Grand Rapids. Best popovers and prime ribs.
What's a popover? Bill from Rochester. Okay.
Oh, you're not now living.
All right.
Bill.
More popover talk. Let's do it. We will continue. And more
amphitheater. Like amphibian. Amphitheater.
I am rocked. I need to go lay down.
Amphitheater.
Right. My world is rocked.
Amphitheater.
I've never even known there was a different pronunciation. I've been calling it wrongly all 52 years an amphitheater.
Yeah, me too.
Amphitheater.
I think.
And it is an but you must have known because you're the one who brought it up.
Well, in the last couple of weeks, you know, I've been doing a lot of deep diving research into amphitheaters, and I realized, I've been saying it wrong my whole life.
Amphitheater.
That's amphitheater. I think it's just that sounds like a p.
Amphitheater.
Makes it sound like a P, so we just say amphitheater. You know
what? I learned something, so I really appreciate that. And
of course,
before we get into the best popovers, because I know people are texting in, I got a text from Pastor Paul Marzon. At Lake Winds Church, and I love Pastor Paul Marzon. He said, Jordana, I seldom disagree with you, but taking the Lord's name in vain is part of God's top 10. The athlete should be fined, because I guess the athlete, you know, Anthony Edwards, took the Lord's name in vain. And instead of just using a regular curse word, and you know what? I like to think about things when people share them with me and a different view. And I do really respect Pastor Paul, and I am now rethinking what I said. Maybe a different curse word would be better.
Yeah.
But I have to.
Well.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's done and said. But Pastor Paul, text me anytime. I love that you make me think differently about things.
I'm okay with Anthony Edwards.
Yeah.
Swearing.
Okay.
Even if it's a GD or whatever it is. Yes.
Yeah, that's right. You know. Okay, popovers.
Well, somebody said, first of all, the reason we started talking about popovers because Josh was talking about the Oak Grill at the old Dayton's. Mm-hmm. And somebody texted in that the Oak Grill used to be for men only. Is that true?
Oh, come on. Oh, I'm sure it's true.
Probably. Like it was just like a total, like almost like a kind of a Playboy Club kind of thing where it would
Should we do what we did, what you guys did the other day and just leave Gerard us and have men radio for
just turn
you?
Right. Yeah. Let's really get into some.
I'll go lay down. Really, I've had a hard morning.
We'll get into some popover talk. Somebody says Arthur's Cafe, two blocks from Jack's Cafe in Northeast, had the best popovers. Those old gals would butter up heavy china mugs, pour in the batter, 20 minutes in a hot oven. Wonderful recipes found in any church cookbook.
So somebody texted in. Seriously, I've never heard of a popover.
Come on.
No, someone texted in. I think it was it's a 507 number. And here's the deal. Coming from the East Coast, even when I lived in Indiana, I never heard of a popover. I didn't know what it was. I know people make them for Passover, and they make them, obviously, at the Oak Grill or whomever. This is, I will tell you what a quick search, an internet search says. A popover is a light roll made from an egg batter similar to that of Yorkshire pudding. It's typically baked in muffin tins or dedicated popover pans. Like, it's very light and airy.
Yes.
Kind of crispy on the outside and super airy and flaky on the inside. I mean, it's a bread product, or a egg batter product. It's like a roll. Yes, mm-hmm. it's a roll or a muffin, but it's light and airy, and it's quite delicious. I've had really my good. Share of pumpkin.
Is it associated more with like supper clubs or steakhouses? Because I've only like I guess I associate them with being in like a steakhouse usually has.
Sounds right. The higher the buck you pay, the more chance you might get a popover. Maybe.
So it's elitist.
It's an elitist pastry.
It's an elitist pastry.
It's beautiful.
An elitist. I guess maybe in New Jersey we didn't have fancy popovers. We just had dinner rolls.
Dinner rolls.
That was it.
Nothing
wrong with a good dinner roll. But now we know. But I also... sorry. See, I'm having a hard morning. I apologize.
George, it's okay. You're getting choked up talking about popovers. It's fine.
I really am. My favorite that we've had now is Yum. Yum Bakery. Yum. Patty does a great job with those popovers. So I wanted to jump in because now I'm a popover believer. I'm a follower. I did try to make them once, and they were awful. God awful.
Really?
And I said to myself, this is something. Remember, you have to know when you're not good at something.
Yeah.
And that's, you need to order in. You need to pay somebody else for it. So popovers are not something that I try to make anymore because I'm sure there is an art to it, and I clearly am lacking.
I wonder if Jen has ever made popovers. We were just putting together a Christmas night dinner. And boy, popovers would be a great addition to that. I wonder if she can make popovers. Even if
you
she screws
buy
them up.
Them. She doesn't have to buy them. Someone says the general store in Minnetonka. People have lined up for them. Oh, here's this, Adam. The mix is also available for purchase, so you can make popovers at home. See, maybe you could get Jen a little gift. Is that going to be insulting to her if you bring her popover mix?
And
here,
an
honey,
apron.
Merry Christmas.
And an apron. Hey, I know you wanted a watch, but hey, there's a clock on the stove, Jen. Am I right?
This really is men radio right now.
All right. This
and
is
you
the
might
want to
take
be.
Off a few pounds because that apron is an extra small, yeah, so you right. might want to fit into that.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Jen, I love you. I'm sorry.
She just found out she's got a cavity today, too, boy. So she's not having a good day.
It's getting worse.
Yeah.
And people are asking us questions about popovers. I don't know if popovers can be made gluten-free. I have no idea. I mean, we had them for Passover, so there's got to be like a no bread recipe. But popovers are the chocolate bunny of the pastry world.
And somebody texted, yes, the oak grill was for men only. A woman couldn't enter unless she was on the arm of a man.
Stop it.
Finally, we get our
God, guy. America used to be so great.
Can't you say that with a love.
You are a terrible human.
Oh,
my gosh. Somebody who is a good human, Allison Weiss from the Pediatric Child Life Program at Hennepin Healthcare, is going to be joining us to get us out of this. Thank God. Women running things. This is what we need more, like the Oak Grill and Hennepin Healthcare.
Will she still be on the line when we get back?
Oh, Allison, I promise we'll clean up our act and we will talk about the very important Child Life Holiday Toy Drive next on CCO.
This time of year, you hear a lot about toy drives and people, you know, collecting toys for various organizations. We thought we'd highlight one of them here that is right here in Minneapolis with Hennepin Healthcare. And you don't think about this one often, but kids who either have become hospitalized or a family member dealing with a traumatic sort of injury or medical situation, who maybe spend time in the hospital over the holidays. Getting toys for those kids is something that is very important. So we thought we'd bring into the conversation Allison Weiss. She is the Pediatric Child Life Program Coordinator with Hennepin Healthcare. Allison, thank you so much for the time. She joins us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. First of all, before we get to that, we've got a pressing issue. Allison, where do you stand on a good popover?
You know, I'm glad you brought that up. First of all, thank you for having me, Adam and Jordana. I happen to love popovers, grew up eating them for Passover like Jordana did as well. So they're kind of indoctrinated into my familial culture. So thank you for checking in about that.
It's a Minnesota thing, too, and they make really great popovers, even for Passover, when everything tastes crappy. So,
Exactly.
All right, we're totally on a tangent here, Allison. Thank you for the introduction. Adam, tell us about the Hennepin Healthcare Child Life Holiday Toy Drive, and who is the recipient of this? Who are these kids that are unseen during the holidays because they're often in the hospital?
Sure. So my role as a child life specialist, we are child development experts, and we help kids cope with being in the hospital. And that may be pediatric patients, it may be the siblings of pediatric patients, it may be, like you mentioned, the children of adult patients. Our goal is to help families and patients develop positive coping skills to get through stressful healthcare experiences. That is what a child life specialist does. And when we explain what we do for a living to patients and families, we usually tell them we really have two parts to our job. The first part is to help kids understand what's happening to their bodies in a way that makes sense to children. So that may be talking to them about an upcoming MRI or an upcoming surgery or an IV placement. And maybe we get a teddy bear and we talk through what the steps of getting an IV are on the teddy bear. So does Teddy want to sit on daddy's lap or on grandma's lap? Does Teddy want to watch or look away? Does Teddy want to hold a squeezy stress ball or watch a video on an iPad? We offer choices to give them control. We prep them using play. We know that kids learn and grow through play. And by doing so, we really demystify that hospital experience and help them with their coping skills so that the next experience isn't as hard. So half of it is that teaching piece, that using kid-friendly language and using toys and play to help them understand what's happening to them. But the other part is that we recognize that children are still kids even when they're in the hospital. They still deserve to play. We know that kids heal faster when they're playing. They're up and out of bed more. They tend to have a quicker discharge time from the hospital. They cope better with being in the hospital when they're allowed to do normalizing activities like art projects, playing video games, playing with Legos, building sculptures, whatever it may be for that child. So this toy drive not only supplies us with toys for children who are hospitalized over the holidays at Hennepin Healthcare. Those are patients who are in our pediatric unit, our pediatric intensive care unit, and our burn unit, as well as our emergency department. But it's also what our child life program and all of our ancillary staff utilize throughout the year for that normalizing play for these children. Whatever's left over after the holidays is what's utilized year round. So this is a kind of what stocks us for the year, this toy drive.
I love that we're highlighting this because this is an aspect of healthcare that I think a lot of people probably don't think about. And you probably wouldn't think about it until you're in that situation of having a situation, God forbid, if it's your child who's sick or injured, or, you know, you're sick or injured and now your child has to be exposed to this environment. Mm-hmm. But Allison, you're very specific about this. And I feel like you are coming at this with a lot of data. What is the research like, and what does it continue to be like about kids and who are exposed to trauma or are dealing with some kind of physical trauma themselves? It sounds like this is something that is very acutely studied.
It is. So children who experience trauma, and trauma is experienced differently, excuse me, by every individual child or adult. One episode of trauma can cause regression, can cause PTSD-like symptoms, can cause major medical anxiety, generalized anxiety. But then when you add in compounding factors back-to-back or spread apart throughout time of traumatic medical experiences, you get those children who grow up into adults who don't seek health care because they're afraid, who are the parents of the child who don't want to stay in the room while they're getting an immunization because they themselves are scared and don't know how to support their own child. So the more traumatic events that happen in a medical environment to a child, there is a longitudinal effect that we do see. And so we really try to get in there and prevent that trauma as much as possible, given the circumstances. We are a level one trauma center. We do see 25,000 pediatric patients each year at Hennepin Healthcare. And we are a safety net hospital as well. So many of these services that we're provided, many of these toys that we're providing, some of these families aren't able to provide these kinds of things over the holidays mm-hmm. for the family members as well. And so it's really a joy and a benefit to be able to get in there with play, with something that's normalizing to that child and that makes the hospital experience less scary to them in an attempt to kind of lessen trauma and avoid compounded trauma over time. And it also gives kids control. If they have a positive experience with something that they might have been afraid of before, and then they need to come back to the hospital a year later or 6 years later to do it again or do something similar again, they know because they've been through it before, hey, I can do this. I have the coping skills to get through this. I learned deep breathing with blowing on a pinwheel or blowing bubbles. I learned what an IV actually is when I'm getting one. I know it's just a tiny straw like a mouse could drink chocolate milk out of, and there's no needle in my arm after the tube goes in. And I know that it's not forever. So the more that we can get in there at a younger age with children in the pediatric world to lessen trauma, the more successful they will be with medical experiences as they get older as well.
Is this program also for children who have parents that are hospitalized?
So our Child Life program currently staffs our pediatric unit, our pediatric intensive care unit, our burn unit, and our emergency department. We do sometimes get consults to other areas at Hennepin Healthcare where there's extra support needed. There are facilities around the country where Child Life programs are much larger and they have people permanently staffed on adult units. But we do collaborate on the adult units frequently with our spiritual care department. Mm-hmm. And with our psychology colleagues and our social work colleagues to and our palliative care colleagues as well to troubleshoot some of the kids' specific issues in the adult units.
So, and even for Adam, I just was going to say, like, for the kids like that are in the ICU that get a toy, you know, that, I mean, I know we're talking about something that is materialistic, but it really changes their day, their outlook. Like, we're talking about toys for the holiday season, of course. That's what we want people to do and get involved in. But yep. I can't express enough how much that changes a kid's day, because being hospitalized is a terrible experience. Even though I know you guys do a great job making it nice and doing the best you can, it's never
still
fun
a hospital,
to be in
right?
the hospital. It's never sure. fun to be in the hospital. And knowing that you can experience some of a holiday season or something positive or something fun, but just a beautiful gift. Allison, how can our listeners get involved with this? How can we help?
So we have a couple ways that people can get involved if they would like. One is that we have an Amazon wish list. Where we have things that my colleagues and I have directly put onto this wish list that we utilize year round and over the holidays for gifts, for normalizing play, for distraction. And then we also have an in-person event. We used to get a lot of calls, hey, can my family come drop off toys to the hospital? And with HIPAA and patient privacy, we're not allowed to do that directly to a patient. However, a lot of families really like to do that donation in person to the hospital. And so this coming Saturday from 10 to 12, in front of our clinic and specialty center, we are having an in-person toy drive, a drop-off event for families who want to drive up in our circle drive and drop off new and unwrapped toys. We see some families who prefer to give that way, and they'd really like to meet us in person and talk to us about the kids in the hospital and such. And then there are families who don't live close by or they'd prefer to give online, and it does come directly to us. And so all of the information that you're going to need to get regarding the in-person drive or the online giving as well is hennepinhealthcare.org/toys. And on that page, there's information about the in-person event, and there's also a link to our Amazon wish list as well.
While you've been talking, I've been watching this video that Hennepin Healthcare has put together, and it's so touching. And it also is a moment here where we can give a shout out to, I mean, people who work, nurses, doctors, people who, assistants who work in healthcare and helping people, they're angels among us. But the ones who, the pediatric nurses and the doctors who work with kids, you talk about saints. God bless those folks. And thank you so much for bringing their story to us today, too.
Yes, and we would not be able to do the work that we do without collaborating with those individuals. We are a team, and we love and care about each other very much and love working with them. So thank you for spotlighting them as well.
Well, Allison, thank you for doing this great work, and I can see why people would want to do the drive up. So remind everybody and bring your kids to know that they're helping also. I love this as a sort of a volunteer and teaching empathy. On Saturday, when can people do the drive up at Hennepin Healthcare?
Saturday from 10 to 12 in front of our clinic and specialty center, which is right on 8th Street. So not the emergency room side, but the other side of the street at 715 South 8th Street from 10 to 12. And the alternate is to do the Amazon wish list. And all the info is hennepinhealthcare.org/toys. And I thank you both so much for letting me chat with you today and taking your time, and wish you both a happy holiday season.
One last question, though, Allison, another hard-pressing question. If you're invited if you're invited to a holiday party, do you show up on time? Or if not, like, what's the window for how late you can arrive? Or do you, God forbid, show up early?
I am definitely not a show up early person. I am either on time or within 5 minutes of start time.
Oh, within five.
Oh, very interesting.
Yeah. Okay. I'm an early offender. I don't like people to sit and wait around. Yeah.
I get it. All right. Yeah. Allison Weiss, Pediatric Child Life Program Coordinator at Hennepin Healthcare. Thanks again for what you're doing and for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You got it. I love having an opportunity, especially during this time of year with the materialism mm-hmm. that is surrounding the holidays, all holidays, to take your kids, if you have younger kids or even teenagers, and say, we're going to pick some toys or we're going to buy them or we're going to whatever, and we are going to donate yep. them to this toy drive. And that is a beautiful way. Even take some of you know, the kids, if they're your own kids, if they have a holiday budget, okay, we're all going to chip in for some toys and go physically drop them off. I think that really gives kids an opportunity to feel like they are helping. And I love this program.
100%. 1048 on CCO.
You're beating me.
Good.
You're beating me.
I know.
You're beating me. I'm actually not upset about it.
No, because it's all for a good cause.
And, it's all for a good cause.
We got a couple more days to donate. This is a friendly competition that we're having for the Children's Cancer Research Fund. Mm-hmm. Great idea to pit radio hosts against each other. And do you have the updated totals? I haven't checked in a little while. What is it?
I just checked. And we, again, Adam and I are in competition with all the other hosts for the Children's Cancer Research Fund. It's a friendly competition, Adam versus Jordana. Jordana has currently $185 donated. Adam has 209
Boom.
Donations.
Boom. We got to get those numbers up, though. Come on, people. Let's go.
For all of the women that want the women-only radio,
right.
you need to donate today.
Yes. And if you just want to hear men,
go to the Oak Grill.
Go to the Oak Grill.
Go to the Oak Grill.
With a pretty dame on your arm and then donate a couple of $100.
Doesn't have to be your wife.
Throw those popovers in and donate.
Right.
Yeah.
Fill the popovers with money and donate to the Children's Cancer Research Fund, a wonderful organization. The
website is childrenscancer.org/WCCO. Childrenscancer.org/WCCO. All in good fun, but for a very serious cause. You know, kids are suffering, so we are happy to be able to do a little bit of friendly competition. Mm-hmm. Childrenscancerresearch.org/WCCO and donate to Jordana.
Yeah. I don't care. Honestly, as long as you're donating, it doesn't matter
right.
to me. It's all good in the end.
Yeah, I tell you, you know, you think about, we're hearkening back to Allison Weiss in that last segment that we did. They're doing a toy drive for kids that are in the ICU or hospitalized during their time during the holidays. I mean, Adam, everybody is so wrapped up mm-hmm. in their own thing, which they should be during the holidays. You should be focusing on your family. It is a time for family. But I too, have been hospitalized during December. And it's terribly lonely. But I will say this, the reason I asked her about children of parents who are hospitalized, because those kids often get forgotten. Yes, they're not in the hospital. They might not be sick. But if you have a parent that is absent during that time, yeah. that's also really challenging. And I had a very nice community that reached out to my kids, you know, during Hanukkah and when I was first hospitalized, and sent them presents. And I thought to myself, like, this, like, the kids were so surprised. They, you know, it was a nonprofit group, and they sent them presents in the mail and like Hanukkah cards. And it was such a nice treat to receive when the holidays were very different when you have a sick parent.
Completely. And again, like, you know, we think about hospitals and what they do, and mm-hmm. like you do, and thank heavens we have, you know, these major level one trauma centers that have the ability to hire people to do things like Allison is doing to make sure that mm-hmm. kids, and I love that, like, I would encourage you, like, to, you know, look up on YouTube what they're doing, because
it on your Insta or put it on your Twitter.
And she,
I'll do that as well. Mm-hmm.
You know, she was talking about these toys are dual purpose. They're obviously mm-hmm. toys so the kids can play with to take their minds mm-hmm. off things, but a lot of them are anatomical. You know, they're mm-hmm. dolls, and they use the dolls to say, okay, here's what the procedure we're going to do. And they show the kids, and that gives them comfort. So God bless those folks for doing that. It's amazing.
And any kind of comfort, as anyone who's been sick or has a sick child knows, that's a good thing. So just love everything about that program. Glad we had her on. But we're and her okay. I was surprised that she said she would come.
I got to be
within
honest.
5 minutes of the start of a party.
That's a little early for me. I have so
Allison, wrong answer.
Wrong answer, yeah, sorry, I mean, Allison. It's better than showing up early. Nobody wants to be there early.
God but, no. Please never come to my house early. I'll make you wait outside.
Yeah, Bob Carter, God rest his soul, was always an early shower upper, and it drove me crazy. Dad, when I say 12 o'clock, I mean like 12:30, 12:45. So what is the wheelhouse for when to show up for a, you know, we're saying holiday party because it's the holidays, obviously, but, you know, generally any kind of party. Mm-hmm. What mm-hmm. is, like, I'm like, you know, a half hour to me is fine. Even like 45 minutes
yeah.
is okay for me.
Okay, that you're pushing it for the 45. Like if the party calls for 7 and you show up at 7:45. I mean, if it's an open house, different story. But the person who's hosting wants to get the party going.
Yeah.
You know, the food might be cold by 7:45. So I'm not talking about a dinner party. I'm just talking about a party, you
right.
know, some hors d'oeuvres, cocktails, you know, like hanging
sure. out. Sure, like an open house kind of party where you can come and go.
Yeah. So 651-461-9226. Or if you're listening online, use that little microphone feature.
Yes.
You can record an answer to our question. What is the proper time to show up at a holiday party? 651-461-9226. We'll lighten things up here on the Adam and Jordana Show next.